You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just let me know. You need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you are listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. We've got a very special guest on with us tonight. I'll bring him in a second. Devin, why don't you go ahead and throw out your social media real quick?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. Make sure you guys are following our Facebook page. Make sure you join the Reality Era News group on Facebook as well. We talk all kinds of wrestling in there. And I think that's it. You got anything? Got anything coming up, man? We got to talk about?
We've got plenty. You can find me at Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit Knockout. Make sure you're following the show at KO3C Pod, and check out everything to do with Knockouts and Three Counts at KO3CPod.com, as well as our YouTube Knockouts and Three Counts. Subscribe to that shit. We've got some pretty big things coming this weekend. I'm headed to Baltimore, so if you're going to be out there for AEW Full Gear, I will be there at StarCast with credentials, so be paying attention to all of our social medias. We're going to be bringing you some fire content. Last time we had DDP, MJF, Nyla Rose. You never know who we're going to have this time, so make sure you're tuned into all of our social media for that. Without further ado, we got a very special guest on with us tonight. We've got the man behind AB Boxing News. We got the homie AB. We met in New York. How you doing, brother, man?
Everything good, man. Pleasure to be in the show, man. And also, shout out to the Knockouts and Three Counts podcast and the whole views out there, man. The fans, you know, support the podcast, the channel, all the social media. Like, you guys are grinding, man. It's just the beginning.
Much appreciated, bro. Well, let's start there. So you and I met at WrestleCon in New York. Your channel is more based on boxing and things like that. You've brought on guys like Deontay Wilder and many more, just to name a few. Let everybody know, you know, some of the names you've brought on and what inspired your channel in the first place.
Just some of the names I've interviewed in the 2 years that I've been, you know, in the YouTube game media, you know, Canelo Alvarez, Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, Andrew Ruiz. We had some couple greats, you know, Juan Manuel Marquez, Julio Cesar, you know, in wrestling terms, because I know there's a wrestling podcast. We had Kevin Nash, Eric Bischoff. You know, I'm good friends with Enzo, Big Cass. I did an interview with Finn Balor when he was at a press conference at Madison Square Garden to support one of these rising star, Michael Collin. And, you know, we've done it all, you know, even celebrities. We've done Fat Joe. We've done A Boogie. You know, we did a couple of names out there.
So we're talking about events we got this weekend. You're not going to be there with us at StarCast because you've got another big event going on this weekend. Let everybody know where you're going to be at this weekend.
Yes, I'm going to be November 9th. I'm going to be KSI versus Logan Paul, the rematch. The first fight was a draw. You know, the first time around, I was a little skeptic because, me being a hardcore boxing fan, I felt like it was a disrespect to the sport of boxing because, you know, nowadays it seems like a lot of these big-time stars are crossing over to boxing just to make a one-shot deal, you know, just to make the profit and just leave the sport. But then when I heard about, you know, the Zone and Eddie Hearn, who I know personally as well, decided to invest in this fight. And when I found out that they were actually going to fight with, you know, no headgear, turn professional and actually fight the ounces that they're supposed to, it changed my mind to be like, you know what? I actually respect him for doing that, because, you know, one thing is having gloves on and you know, having the 16-ounce gloves, but to actually get there with no headgear and to actually train like a pro, you know, I got to give these guys the props. And, you know, long term, I was looking at it like, you know what, this is a high risk, but, you know, if the zone's able to capitalize it the way I hope they can, this could be a big payoff, and this might be beneficial to boxing, you know, a transition to a new era for boxing.
So, Devin, what are your thoughts on KSI versus Logan Paul?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. So a friend of the show, guys that mentored me, the Corner Podcast, Andreas Hill and Kale Dansby. Andreas works for The Zone and The Sporting News. He's going to be covering this fight too. And I remember when the first one came around, they were talking about this, and they basically weren't taking it seriously either. So I thought, you know, I didn't even know who these guys were. And for this to, you know, get a second fight, you know, be on The Zone, I thought it was crazy. So, AB, my question to you is that when you said, you know, you kind of felt the same way, you know, I don't know how legit this is, but how big is it for them to pick this pay-per-view up on The Zone, which is now one of the big boxing streaming networks? How big, can you explain to the people how big it is for them to actually pick this fight up and make it legit?
Well, if you know, just in terms of YouTube, you know, KSI and Logan Paul, they have, you know, a massive amount of subscribers, you know, them together alone. And I give an example, when they did the press conference to announce the fight in L.A., I believe Justin Logan Paul and KSI, you know, individual, I think they were doing like almost like 3 million views just for a press conference. And then I know for the Zone channel on YouTube, they did over like 1 million. So it proves to you that numbers do matter, you know, numbers are real. And, you know, with The Zone, you know, The Zone is it's been around for a year, and they're well established in Germany and other parts of the world. But, you know, now they're taking the risk of coming to the U.S. market, which is a little bit saturated. You know, you got wrestling, you got basketball, NBA, you got NFL. So it's a very competitive market. You know, it's not like, I'll give you an example, Eddie Hearn and Maximum Sports. You know, if you ask everybody in England, you know, Liverpool or whatnot, or Bolton, they'll ask you what's the number one sport in the country. They'll tell you boxing. You know, Matt Truman has done a good job. Also, I want to give a shout out to Queensbury Promotion, Frank Warren. You know, boxing is number one, and what they're trying to do is eliminate the model of pay per view, because what they're saying is, why should you pay $80 for one pay per view where you could just pay $100 for the whole year? And what they're saying is, we'll give you the most quality fight for you know, just for the convenience of the fans, you know what I mean? Because they're saying the fans shouldn't be paying this much just to watch a fight. Instead, we should be on the aspect of the fans, give them what they like, give them the best matchups. And I give an example, right? Canelo usually fights Cinco de Mayo and Independence Day in September. He didn't fight September because what the Zone is trying to do is each month they're trying to give a high, you know, matchup. So for example, Canelo was, you know, this Saturday just passed, you know, November against Kovalev. Next month, you have Logan Paul, KSI. Next month after that, you have Joshua Ruiz. So those three fights alone, you know, in a 2 month span, those are high profile fights. So instead of them putting them back to back to back, you have them, you know, a separation of a month. And then you continue having these other big fights down the road. So that's what they're trying to do. And then with KSI, Logan Paul, they're trying to take advantage of all their fans and subscribers to purchase The Zone. And hopefully out of, let's say, for example, 3 million, they'll get 500,000 The Zone subscribers to stay on The Zone, you know?
Right. And I definitely want to touch it.
Yeah. I was going to add too. It's very tricky to get accurate numbers with The Zone because they don't really release the subscription numbers. Where pay per view, usually we get the numbers within 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So that's something I would like to find out more about their subscription, honestly.
So
if it's even.
The thing for me with this card is I didn't even realize until I was doing a little bit of research before we came on here to see what was going on with the card. What's crazy to me about this is not only do you have the main event between KSI and Logan Paul, I mean, you've got Billy Joe Saunders versus Marcelo Esteban Caceres. I don't know if I said that right. For the world WBO World Super Middleweight Championship. And then you've got Devin Haney versus Alfredo Santiago for the WBC World Lightweight Championship. So, I mean, they've got legitimate title fights that are on this card. Yeah. So that's what's wild to me, because that if that doesn't show you that, I mean, even if maybe the outside world doesn't take the take this fight seriously, I mean, clearly somebody knows what the fuck is going on with this and sees the numbers that are coming with it.
Correct. You know, I talked to Devin Haney, actually. I had one of my reporters talk to him this past weekend in Las Vegas. He had a you know, I guess, private workout. And we, you know, he talked to him behind the closed door. He said, hey, you know, do you feel disrespected fighting on the undercard? And Devin was like, no, actually, I benefit. He's like, because, you know, of course, I got my followers to the hardcore and maybe some of the casual boxing fans in the world. But he's like, why wouldn't I take advantage of getting some of their fans? He's like, as long as I perform in a spectacular fashion and do not bore the crowd, then it's going to benefit his side. And, you know, like, I mean, I can only speak for Devin. I don't know about, you know, the other fighters. I know I have two of my guys, actually. They're from one is from Staten Island, the other is from Brooklyn, but we're under the same stable, Rashad Mahdi, Nikita Ababi, and also another good friend of mine that's in the card is going to be Diego Pacheco. He's from California. They're really pumped up. They're excited, you know what I mean? Because they're following. I'll tell you this much. I was talking to Rashad the other day because his following is over, like, I think 25,000 followers on Instagram. And I told him, if you perform the way you're supposed to perform and you get the job done and you impress the audience, watch your 25,000 turn into 35,000 the next day. But we're going to see. This is the beauty about social media nowadays and, you know, boxing and entertainment overall.
Perfect example of that is one of our past guests of the show is actually fighting on the undercard of that. He's actually a pro MMA fighter, Josh Bruckner. But him and his girlfriend have a very successful YouTube channel. They do vlogs and things like that of them traveling all over the place. But I just found out about a week ago he will be fighting on the undercard. I don't know necessarily who he's fighting yet because last I knew it was still a to be determined. But, I mean, it's wild, bro, that this is blown up into what it is because, I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I first heard about the card, I'm like, really? There's all this hype over a couple of YouTube kids that are that are going to fight? And, I mean, that's not a disrespect to them because from what I've seen, they're clearly putting in the work. But, I mean, just off rip, I'm like, really? All this shit? And at Staples Center of no less for a couple of YouTube kids. If that doesn't show you, like, the power of what YouTube can do, I mean, I don't really know what will. What do you expect? What do you expect out of that fight? I mean, do you think they're going to just get in there and throw, or do you think there's going to be any, like, real skill to it?
I mean, just analyzing the first fight, I mean, I just felt KSI was more of a boxer, and I think Logan Paul was more of the, I'm here to knock you out. And sometimes when you have that fighter mentality where you just want to slug it out, but keep in mind, he's never fought, you know, he didn't have any amateur experience like that, you know, to have, like, let's say 150 fights, 200 fights. But, you know, he's, like, freshly green. And for him to go, you know, go for the knockout, it paid a price for him. And there was a couple rounds where, you know, it showed that he gassed out. And KSI was landing some good shots. But, you know, it was an even fight, you know what I mean? So going into this fight, you know, hopefully they fix their mistakes and, you know, make it even exciting fight. I do expect a knockdown this fight. I strongly feel like there's going to be a knockout in this fight. Maybe no less than 8 rounds, to be honest.
All right. So who's going to win?
What were you saying?
I was going to say, all right, then who's going to win?
To be honest, I'll give you an honest opinion. I usually determine who wins the day of the weigh-ins because I always like to read body language and I like to see what's their weight and just how they are in terms of personality. If they're the same level that they were during press conference or they feel like anxious. So, you know, for me, I usually make my pick on weigh-ins. So weigh-ins will be Friday, I think around 12 p.m. I think Pacific time. So, yeah.
Devin, you got any thoughts on the fight and who you've got as a winner or anything?
as far as predictions, not really, but I wanted to ask more of a general question. Like our show is wrestling and MMA, really combat sports in general. And well, I want to say about maybe 2-3 years ago, there was kind of this debate going on about which sport was, you know, hotter, either MMA or boxing. And yeah. I would say maybe 2-3 years ago, I would have said MMA. But to me, it seems like over the past year or two, boxing has made like this great comeback with guys like Canelo Alvarez. The heavyweight division is on fire right now with Ruiz and Joshua. So your thoughts on MMA versus boxing and where boxing is right now and where you see it going in the future?
I think, honestly, I'll be honest with you. I follow, I don't want to say I'm a hardcore MMA UFC fan, but I will say that the success of MMA and UFC or whatnot, Bellator MMA or whatnot, I think their success is more like they don't wait for to marinate a fight, you know? So in, right. in other words, for example, Dana White would be like, if you're ranked number one and this person's number two, you guys are going to go at it no matter what. Okay, if you beat this person, you're going to fight number three. So I think the structure that they've been doing it has been very well. I think the rankings is pretty precise from what I know. And I think when the fight needs to happen and it's like an even fight, I think that's why it's been able to transition to a rapid growth. For, you know, for what I know, what, 25 years, 30 years that's been around, I'm giving an example, I might be wrong. And with boxing, it's nowadays, from my experience and knowing fighters, sometimes boxing has become, if you got an O, you're marketable. But once you have a loss, you take like 5 steps back, you know. In some cases, right. there's some fighters that overcome that and they end up making the money. You know, I'll give an example. Canelo, like you said Canelo, right? He fought Floyd right. Mayweather 2014. He was, I believe he was like 22, 23. And, you know, he took a L, right? He first lost. But there's an exception to that because you say to yourself, well, he lost to Floyd Mayweather. You're supposed to lose to Floyd Mayweather. You know, and I think Floyd changed that concept that you have to be undefeated. You know, the zero matters. Where in MMA, UFC, you could be 14-5, 29-13. But if you bring excitement and you give out, you give it your all, you put your heart out, and you know, you just excite the fans. You're always going to be marketable. I think the only difference is that when you match up these fighters and you don't give them time to marinate their name and brand themselves, I think that's why you see a lot of disparities between, for example, this past week, Canelo got $35 million compared to Masvidal. I don't know his purse. I think it was like $500,000. So that's why you see disparities where, like, for example, McGregor, I think his biggest earning at the time in UFC before going to boxing, I think it was like $3 million. He crossed over to boxing. He fights Floyd. He makes over $100 million. So I think that's the disparity between MMA and boxing. Boxing is, you know, slowly but surely coming back to the golden age of boxing. You know, the best want to fight the best. You know, there's a lot, you know, there's still conflict with us, you know, different promoters, they want to protect the fighters. But I think now nowadays with fighters is some of these elite fighters are their own bosses. They're their own promoters. You know, like before there was only two promoters in the game and they will control your every move. But now it's right. like, you know, I'll give you an example. Devin Haney, he has DHP Promotions. The Charlo brothers, they have Lions Only Promotion. And then you got Deontay Wilder, Bomb Squad Promotion. So now most of these marketed, you know, even Canelo, you know, I know he's with Golden Boy, but he also has Canelo Alves Promotions, Manny Pacquiao Promotions. So now these fighters are controlling their own destiny. That's why I believe boxing is becoming what it's supposed to be now, the leading combat sport. It's coming there. But UFC has strongly, you know, captivated the market right now. So, yeah, I think that's really the differences now currently.
I mean, you touched on a thing that we've talked about a lot here on the show, in the discrepancy in what some guys are getting paid. I mean, that's been something that I've said needs to be fixed for years. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, it's crazy in a lot of ways when you look at it, because – a lot of guys in boxing are getting paid just stupid money compared to what some of the guys in MMA are making. And here's a perfect example. Okay, we just had Masvidal versus Diaz. You talked about how much more Diaz made than Masvidal. But on that same hand, when Diaz fought McGregor and when he beat McGregor, McGregor made well over $1 million. Nate Diaz beat him and choked him out, and I believe his payout was $500,000. Now, I'm sure he made more than that, between all that kind of stuff, whether you're talking sponsors and pay-per-view buys and all that kind of shit. But, I mean, it's crazy, the money discrepancy. And, I mean, I think Conor McGregor, like, really shed a light on that, because look how much more he got paid for that one fight against Floyd as opposed to what everybody's making in MMA. I mean, realistically, in MMA, I mean, about the only ones who are really making, like good money are guys like a John Jones or an Anderson Silva or, you know, like your big cogs. I think that's why you see a lot of people moving over to Bellator, because Bellator's handing out these big contracts. What do you think causes that big discrepancy in what guys are getting paid in boxing versus MMA?
I've had this theory some time now. I think the problem is that, like, I'll give you a perfect example. UFC, from my understanding, the way the structure is dominated by one person, which would be, like, for example, Dana White, that does all the matchmaking.
Sure.
So I think having one promoter, he might even take most of the profits each event, you know. I'll give you an example for boxing. I know, I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say Golden Boy throws a show on Facebook Watch, and let's say investors or whoever wants to invest in the show, let's say they get $1 million, right? Main event, co-main event. Let's say the A side will get, you know, in this case, I'll give you an example, right? The promoters will be slick and won't really tell them, oh, get this much. Only the promoters know how much the event is, right? So an A side on a Facebook Watch will probably get, I want to say, 110K. The B side will probably get 50K. So imagine if they're the two that are making more money because they're main event, imagine what the lower card is making. So let's say Golden Boy only spends $450,000 on that event, and the rest, because all these fighters are not knowledgeable, some of them probably are, they will profit off that and they'll keep it for themselves, you know? And that's just, I think, what happens in UFC, you know? Sometimes
somebody
doesn't know how an event really is, you know?
I would totally agree with that in a lot of ways because, I mean, I've seen a lot of guys that are moving over to Bellator that are making a lot more money than they were in the UFC, just purely off the fact that they're able to wear their sponsors again, which in the UFC, if you pay attention, they all have to wear the Reebok fight kit, all that kind of stuff. My question to you is, so we talked about Conor making the jump to boxing. Tell me what your thoughts are on some of these boxing guys now following into what Ronda Rousey tried to do with the UFC or with WWE. I mean, we just saw Tyson Fury over at I won't call it what I was going to call it, but WWE Crown Jewel, as well. he beat me to it. But yeah, you had Tyson Fury and Cain Velasquez, who are both a current champion and the former heavyweight champion, for the UFC, you know, making their jump to WWE. First of all, what were your thoughts on it, and what do you think about them making that, you know, that cross promotion?
I mean, personally, I've seen Fury a couple of times. I interviewed a couple of times. I seen that coming, honestly, because just kind of like understanding what he came through. Because when he became undisputed heavyweight champion, you know, sometimes in life when we have everything, sometimes it's not that we lose motivation, but then our head is like, what's next? You know, for boxing, you know, most of these fighters' goals to be make your money and become undisputed champion in your weight class. And when he did it, he beat the man, which at the time was Klitschko, and then he fell into depression. He was in drugs. You know, he had everything, you know, going wrong for him. And for him to overcome it, return to the sport of boxing, beat Deontay, well, not beat Deontay, It was a good fight. He got knocked out the 12th round. He got up like the Undertaker. It felt real. It was really real, you know. And it felt like a WWE script, like Undertaker. You know, he's laying down and then he just get back up. And I think Fury understands that his charisma, his personality, like he knows how to get in a fighter's head. He knows how to talk. Like, he's very organic. And I seen that coming. And when I heard about when he fought Otto Wallen, he had to cut. I knew he was supposed to fight Wilder in February. And I was like, I don't even know if that's going to happen. Because I think he got, like, multiple stitches, like a lot of stitches. And I think, to me, I was like, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it now. Because Fury is doing what, like, I'm going to say it again, Floyd Mayweather did 07, 08.
Against the Big Show.
When he had a problem with the Big Show. You know, Floyd was, you know, he was big. Like, he was a star in boxing. But I think WWE gave him that, like I'm going to say, that the platform, you know, that WWE universe. And you know, after that, Floyd, you know, with this, you know, the spectacle that he had with Big Show, Floyd just became, like, the biggest draw, I think, in just sports overall after that in 08. I think he beat De La Hoya before that. But, yeah, like, Tyson Fury is trying to replicate what Floyd did, and maybe even better. And you know, I watched some of the wrestling match with Braun Strowman. I have to say, there was some little things I didn't like. There was things that I was like, wow, for somebody to train like maybe less than a month, he did pretty good. And honestly, I love his ring entrance. I think that was
so
innovative.
Dope.
He has different. You know, I'll give an example. He fought Otto Wallen in Las Vegas. He came out with a Mexican team like this guy. Yeah. This guy is just, you know, all class. He loves to talk, like, you know, but it was, you know, I had fun, honestly. It was something, you know, that I expected. It was something that I liked. I kind of disagree with the booking. I mean, I'm a fan of Braun Strowman. I think, like, WWE just buried the guy, man. Like, he was red hot. And then, I don't know. Just,
you're not the only one.
Bad book. And, you know, that. But I'm excited for Fury, you know, and there's a lot of boxes that I really think could cross over to WWE. And then in terms of Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar, I was like, you know, 50-50. I just didn't like the way they kind of betrayed Cain Velasquez. Because Cain Velasquez is, like, to me, is one of the maybe his first big fights where I was excited to see, you know, for me to order pay-per-view when he beat Brock. And, from you know, that's my image of Cain. You know, he's a warrior. You know, even if he's losing, he'll come to fight. And, you know, when he fought Brock Lesnar, like, you know, it was okay. Like, I seen some spots where he did well, but I just felt like he lost some prestige, you know? And not to say that he lost prestige in the UFC, it's just, like, the name, you know? But I understand that WWE is trying to build up Brock Lesnar again as the beast, you know, like what they did when Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Like, I get that aspect, but... You know, I just felt like it could have been done differently, but, you know,
so
it's wrestling. Yeah.
I thought that too, but I found out after the fight that they're saying that Cain very well tore his knee. So if that happened, that explains the quick finish, because I'll be honest with you, I told Devin as soon as I watched it, I was mad as shit at the way they did Cain, because there's a lot of people that, again, if you follow the Reality Era News wrestling group where we all talk trash about wrestling – you know, I mean, a lot of people in there are like, well, you know, Cain being an MMA and being the one that beat up Brock in the UFC doesn't really matter to me. But here's the thing. I mean, let's face it. Whether wrestling fans maybe watched MMA or knew much about it, WWE knew what they were doing, because they kept, you know, they kept plugging the fact that Cain beat the hell out of Brock. And that's a fact. I think they did a good job of building it. I mean, if his knee really is busted, it makes sense on the short finish. But at the same time, man, I agree with you in the same sense, especially if you're going to build Cain the way you did, talking about how, you know, Cain's the one that beat Brock and, you know, he's the one that ended his reign and all that. To have him just come in there and lose in 2 minutes, to me, I wasn't such a big fan of that. As far as Fury goes, I think his entrance was awesome. I thought it was very smart of him to come out in the Saudi Arabia guard. Sorry for the name. I don't know what you call that. But, you know, the entrance itself was dope. And especially, I'm shocked you didn't mention it. So you mentioned how he sat up like The Undertaker against Wilder. He did that in the match against Braun Strowman. So it's clear where Fury gets some of his influence from.
Yeah, I mean, like, you brought it up, you know, what he did it in the match, but I think that it was, you know, WWE is it's, you know,
right,
pre-performance and it's scripted. But with the fight with Wilder, it was like, I couldn't even believe it. I was like,
I was shocked.
Everybody was looking at me like, did you see that? I was like, whoa. Like, I thought he was out. Like, I thought he was dead. And then he got on the wall, like, you know, and he went viral. Like, I remember they even did, like, you know, the little bit of the Sting with the Undertaker and a little Bray Wyatt, and you know, they mix it all. I was like, yo, that's, like, in my head, I'm like, that's insane. But I'll give you a heads up. Fury also did the Saudi Arabia, because as you know, Anthony Joshua versus Andrew Ruiz is, you know, the rematch, the Battle of the Dunes, I think it's called. It's going to be for the heavyweight title. It's going to be in December 7th, Saudi Arabia. And knowing Fury, he's testing that market because he wants to bring prestigious names. So when he fights, let's say, maybe a Wilder, who knows? Knowing boxing nowadays that they're trying to hit all markets, he might fight Wilder in Saudi Arabia. So he's well planned. He's well prepared. I wouldn't be surprised if he says, yo, my next fight with Wilder is in Saudi Arabia. And he already got the fast track to that, because then people already recognize, oh, yeah, that's the guy that, you know, fought Braun Strowman in WWE. Now he's coming here, the lineal heavyweight champion. So, you know, he planned it, and it's well executed, I think, on Tyson Fury's.
So good segue there. You're talking about Fury kind of building himself a little bit of a rapport with the people over there in Saudi Arabia. If you're looking to build a house, man, check out the homies at Stransky & Company. They're a top-producing real estate team that specializes in individual strategy, over-the-top service, and continued success for their clients. They're the real estate easy button. If you're looking to buy, sell, or invest, call them at 248-563-9449 or email them at admin@stranskyandcompany.com. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Stransky & Company. Like I said, man, if you follow our social media, man, they just put out a new listing in Berkeley. They're putting out quality work, man. I'm not just plugging them because they're part of the show. If you're looking for a house, hit up Matt Stransky.
Hey, Kyle, I just want to say, brother, that was a great, great transition, man. That was, man, A1.
I try. But now that we've gotten Crown Jewel out of the way, we've touched a little bit on your ties to wrestling. How long have you been a wrestling fan? What was it that got you into it? And what are your thoughts on the current landscape right now?
Oh, man. So I was born in 95, and I recall my family were huge WCW fans. The one that really hits me would be, like, I'll be honest, my favorite wrestler is Goldberg. Like, just the way he was, the way he presented himself, his theme song, the pyro, the spear, the jackhammer. You know, I was a fan of Sting, DDP, NWO, LWO. I was a big fan of the Cruiserweights too. I remember when Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio, Dean Malenko would do, like, you know, the high flying moves. You know, I always try to replicate it, you know, and I was probably like 2, 3, 4, 5. And you know, and I remember from WWE also, I think from like the Ruthless Aggression era, I remember the likes of Batista, John Cena, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and I still watch WWE from here and there. I'm right now with the product, I'm like, you know, up and down. But mostly I'm disappointed lately because I think the problem is that if you look at the 90s, right, what hooked me to watch TV all night was, you know, I preferred WCW at the time in the late 90s, but you know, here and there, I would tune in to WWF at the time where, you know, they were building up momentum and their program was better. Their storyline was better. So it made me be like, oh, well, this show is actually better than WCW. So it made me tune in that one. So I think what happened was after the collapse of WCW, you had this Dragonaut, like, you know, we're talking about boxing UFC. You had this WWE, the Supreme, you know, the dictator, whatnot. And when you don't have no competition, you say to yourself, oh, well, we got nobody that gives us a threat. We just throw whatever, you know, is in our minds. And I think that the years that are catching up to them, you know, they got away with it with a certain amount of time. Where now, for example, I'll give you an example. TNA, I should be a big fan of TNA the first from 02 to maybe like 08, 07. And then I think TNA was trying to be like the next WWE.2. That's when I was like, yeah, I'm not doing TNA no more. You know, there's a lot of good indies. You know, you got ROH, you got, I know, I like New Japan, what is it, Evolve, and all these other wrestling promotions. but they, I don't think they have that platform like WWE has. So, like I said, I've been disappointed with WWE. I think the problem is when fans are cheering for somebody they want and WWE gives them somebody else, like, for me, it's like a spit in my face because it's like, why are you doing this to us? We're the ones that purchase tickets, you know, we go to the arenas to see these guys, and for you guys to just book whatever you want, you know, there's like, you know, loss of trust. And now that you're talking about this wrestling, you know, I watch AEW the first, was it three episodes? No, is it four now? Tomorrow's going to five.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I think AEW provides me what I always like, just pure wrestling. You know, I feel like if there's great wrestling, you can always create a story. And I think, you know, of course, you know, with five shows, they have their strengths and they got their weaknesses. But I think with AEW, they have their own identity, you know. And one thing that I was telling one of my other friends that is a big wrestling fan, he's like, you know, AB, he's like, don't you think that they're bringing too much ex-WWE guys, right? And I tell them, well, not really. Well, yeah, there's most of these guys are, quote unquote, they weren't WWE. That's how they got their name. But I'll give you an example. Chris Jericho, he started out WCW as Lionheart, right? He was ECW as well. Then he went WCW. Then he goes to WWE. He established himself with like three different transitions, you know. Then he goes to New Japan, whole different personality. Then he goes to AEW, and at his age, and then, you know, he got these crazy quotes, you know, Le Champion, a little bit of the bubbly, like, you know, that intrigues him. Jericho is just his own name. He's his own boss. Anywhere he goes, he could make something out of it. Cody Rhodes, another one. I think for his time in WWE, his name carried a load on him. You know, rest in peace to Dusty Rhodes again. Great, phenomenal wrestler. I think that sometimes the name was pressuring him, and I think WWE didn't let him control the creative decisions and for his character. He goes to, I believe it was ROH, and then he goes to AEW, and he kind of reestablished himself to the point for me, right? If you tell me, oh, Cody, I'm like, no, he's AEW. He's, you know, he blew up in the indie scenes. So I think AEW is doing good. I also like Hangman Page. I'm a big fan of the Lucha Brothers, Rey Fénix and Pentagon. Oh my God, those guys are sick.
Yes,
Young
sir.
Bucks. Christopher Daniels. I mean, I don't know if he's wrestled actually. You know what else? You know, Kazarian. Yeah, what is it?
SCU.
Yes. And also, what I was going to tell you, what surprised me the most and I really like is the booking. Like, I thought the Lucha Brothers was going to win, and now I'm like, what? Oh my! I thought that's good though. Sometimes the unexpected is what makes you want to tune in the following week.
How about Private Party beating the Bucks?
Yeah,
that's
a lot of. And I just add on this one real quick. And also, what I like is like most of these established stars in AEW, like for example, the Young Bucks, Cody, Kenny Omega, for them to take a step back, three steps back, and to let these younger wrestlers, or you know, maybe fans are not aware of their name yet. For them to like, you know, get pinned or submit, or let these other guys flourish. That's what I like about these guys. They don't really care about, you know, oh, win. Like they don't mind taking a couple losses to establish these next stars. And that's what I think makes me appreciate AEW at the moment. You know, it might change, might not, but you know, for now, they're being their own selves. They're you know, they're doing great promotions. I see it all the time. On when I watch NBA on TNT, they talk about AEW. Chris Jericho is doing great with his Instagram, you know, doing these crazy segments, you know, off wrestling. So, you know, like I said, I really like the show, and I hope they continue their success because, you know, they continue to do what they're doing. You know, WWE is in real big trouble. I think they're in trouble now, but they're really going to feel it.
So now that I know you've been watching enough of the show, why don't we do a pick 'em? We'll just do them off the big matches that we've already got out there. Since you were just talking about Jericho, tell me your thoughts on Jericho versus Cody, and who do you got?
Jericho versus Cody. I think in this one, I think you have to build prestige in that title, you know, because too many title switches in a short period of time, it might harm the title's prestige, especially because it's relatively new. So I think just based on that aspect, and I think Jericho has been carrying most of the load right now in terms of just main eventing, defending the title. I just have Jericho. I just have him winning, and I think he'll probably be champion for maybe in the next another 3-4 months. I really like the Inner Circle. Cody, I don't know. I just feel like Cody might just fight Jericho, but there might be a distraction. He might just have another big program after that fight. So that's why I see Jericho just successfully defending that title. So I have Jericho winning.
All right, Devin, who you got?
Couldn't have said it better myself. Jericho keeps it. You want to, you know, build that title up. I say Jericho wins.
All right. So part of me wants to say Cody's going to win this, but okay. And Kyle just chimed in. Kyle's also going with Jericho as well. I think Jericho is going to win. I think if this was a little bit farther down the road, you'd see Cody win. But the thing that I've liked most about this match is one of my only criticisms to AEW so far is that I love the fact that there's been so much more wrestling. I definitely think that it's much needed. But as Devin and I have talked about, and if you check out our past episodes, which you can find anywhere you find your podcast or YouTube, I was a little bit critical of the story building that they were doing because they had great matches, but they didn't do such a good job at first of, you know, explaining why these guys were fighting each other. Why did they want, you know, why was it? Was it just a title or was there an actual beef? I think what they did last week with them fighting in the suite and having them fight all through the crowd and out in the concourse and all that, and then to, you know, let that bleed over into being the Elite, and Sammy Guevara had that as part of his vlog and the way they jumped his brother Dustin and smashed his arm. Now you're getting to the complete, you know, the complete product. Now you're getting to where now you're explaining why these dudes want to fight. And don't get me wrong, at the end of the day, the match is what matters, but you have to perfect example with it being Cody Rhodes that we're talking about. Cody Rhodes' dad, although he was a great wrestler, he could talk you into the seats. Just by what he would say, he'd make you want to either see him get his ass whooped when he was with the Cowboy Dick Murdoch, rest in peace, or, you know, when he was the American Dream, you wanted to see him overcome, you know, the dastardly Ric Flair. So, I mean, that to me would be the biggest thing that I want to see. But again, like with what you were talking about with SCU and things of that nature, I mean, I'll be honest, I really didn't think they were going to win. I thought the Lucha Brothers were going to win when it went down that way. But you know what? The way they did it, and especially with them having Chris Daniels get taken out like that, again, good storytelling. Yeah. The next big match we got, you mentioned another guy that you're a fan of. You've got Hangman Page and Pac are going to run it back. What are your thoughts on that match?
Man, that was the one, like, I'm 50-50. I think Hangman Page needs a critical win because I believe him and Jericho was what the pay-per-view
yep,
for the
title.
All the loss, right? I want Hangman Page. This is just my heart, but I think I'm gonna go with Hangman Page. I think he's gonna win.
All right, Devin, who you got?
I'm gonna go with the Bastard Pac. One thing that I think AEW needs to be very, very careful about is how they book the Elite guys. You can't just keep, you know, putting them in these situations where they're winning, and you know you don't want to make it look like you're favoring the all Elite guys. So I think Pac will get this victory, and I can see him getting a title shot in the near future.
I will say, just to play devil's advocate, man, I mean, I totally agree with that, and I think that that's why it's a great thing that the Bucks lost to Private Party, because, I mean, I sure as fuck didn't see that happening. But that being said, I mean, I would go as far to say that they've done a good job of that, because if you think about it, even look at the match at Fighter Fest. At Fighter Fest with Cody and Darby Allin. Darby Allin, you know, is an up-and-comer, but then to have, you know, the time run out on him and then have Sean Spears come out and smoke him, I mean, it's not like the elite are just running through them, but that's a very good point. I do think that that's something that they need to be careful of. As far as this match that we're talking about, I feel like Hangman Page has taken a couple of critical losses at this point, being that he lost to Jericho for the title. You know, he's had a couple losses at this point. I'm going to go Hangman Page on this one. I think they're going to use it to help build Pac up as an even bigger badass. Kyle says he thinks he's going to get a quote-unquote dusty finish. It's going to be a DQ finish. We'll see how that one goes. I'm not really sure on how I see that going, but I can't wait. Yes, I'll be there. Anyways, next match on the docket. We've got a great tag team match. You've got the Young Bucks versus Proud and Powerful, Santana Ortiz, former LAX and Impact. AB, what do you think about this match?
So if I'm going Jericho winning against Cody, then I think Young Bucks, I think this is a must win for them. I don't think having all of the members of Inner Circle winning in one pay-per-view. I mean, it's possible, but I see Young Bucks winning this one.
All right, Devin, I guess Randy's telling us we're getting close, so give me your picks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bucks with a little bit of help from the Rock and Roll Express.
I have no problem with that. Past guest of the show, Ricky Morton, just for the record, Hall of Famer and all that good jazz. The last match we should talk about, if we're going to talk about any, you've got, finally, it's going to happen since we know that Moxley had the staph infection at All Out or whatever it was with his elbow. It's going to be him versus Kenny Omega. Who do you guys got and why? Quickly.
I'll make it quick. I think John Moxley wins this one.
Moxley. Okay.
Yeah, I say Moxley mainly because it's a lights out match. The win or loss really doesn't matter. So I say Moxley get it.
All right, I think Moxley's going to win, but judging by what they've been doing on TV, and you know, if you noticed on TV last week, they were really harping on the fact that they wanted to do it unsanctioned, and you saw Moxley go into Tony Khan's office. I think since it's a quote-unquote lights-out match, I feel like there's going to be some kind of fuckery. Moxley will win, but I could see it being something to where maybe it doesn't get seen on the – not seen on the pay-per-view, but since it's a quote-unquote lights-out match, I feel like there's going to be some kind of fucked-up finish to where Moxley might win, but it'll still give some shine to Kenny, which I think is further going to push into – if you've noticed, it looks like he's kind of you know, going back to that cleaner role. So I feel like there's going to be some fuckery in the finish, but I'm going to go with Moxley on that one. Kyle says he's got Proud and Powerful in the other one. And he told Kev to take some notes. You've heard our picks on, I almost called it All Out. I meant Full Gear. Here's our thoughts on Full Gear, KSI, Logan Paul, boxing as a whole. Make sure you're following the homie AB Boxing News on YouTube. Let them know where they can find you real quick, and then we'll throw our social medias and get out of here.
Yeah, so you guys can follow me on YouTube and Twitter. It's AB Boxing News, ABBOXINGNEWS. And then my Instagram is AB Boxing GN. So I'm going to spell it out. It's ABBOXINGN, and that's all on social media.
Devin?
You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DEVINTHE63. You can find me on Instagram at AllStakeNoSizzle. It's one word. And make sure you join the Reality Era News group on Facebook.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, Detroit NOKOUT. Make sure you're following the show, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast, all that good stuff. You can find all of our social medias, everybody's stuff at KO3CPod.com. And if you're going to be in Baltimore at Full Gear, at StarCast, any of that, make sure you check us out. I will be there. I rang the bell just for you, Devin. We'll be there. And stay tuned to our social media. I'm going to have some real fire content for you guys coming. In the meantime and in between time, peace.